Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
In the Roman Empire, Emperor Frederick ruled in the 13th century, and he had this desire to know what was mankind's original language. What was our original language? Was it maybe Hebrew, Greek, Latin, something else? So he conducted an experiment where he took babies, newborn babies, and he said, I do not want any human to speak to them. I want them just to be able to grow and be in an environment where they begin to speak on their own, and what is the natural language that comes to them. So he had wet nurses come, and they fed the babies, and they had to sign an obligation saying that they would not utter a sound to these little children. And so they didn't. And within a few months, every single baby was dead. Every baby died. You see, even though they had everything they needed to live physically, there was no emotional, relational attachment in their life. I don't know how those little children felt, but I can just imagine not hearing anyone speak to them. They probably felt so alone and so isolated that they just gave up of despair. And it shows how each one of us needs attachment, how in life, a relational attachment is vital, and that is also vital when it comes to leadership, when it comes to leading. And that's what our theme is for 2022. Our theme is lead, L-E-A-D. That's our theme this year. Now, some of you may be saying, no, wait a second, Craig, how does this apply to me? Because I don't own a business, I'm not a coach, I'm not a manager, I'm not the head of an organization. You know, there's nothing that I lead. There's no one that I supervise. How does this apply to me? Well, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this series, this theme, lead, does apply to each and every one of us if you're a follower of Jesus. That's because you and I are to imitate Christ. We are to do what Jesus did. And there's two positions that Jesus assumed while he was on earth. Number one, he was a lamb. Jesus was the Lamb of God, and he followed God. He did God's will. Secondly, Jesus was also a shepherd. He led people to God. And so that is our calling. We are both to follow Christ and lead other people to Christ. It fits right in with our mission, as Pastor Zach mentioned. Our mission as a church is to help all people find and follow Jesus. As we lead, they find him, and then we help them follow him. That's our calling. So look at your neighbor and say, you're a leader. Say right back at you. Every single follower of Jesus is a leader, whether we believe that or not. And so the past few weeks, we've been talking about what are the qualities that help us to effectively lead people, influence people toward Christ. And we're using the word lead, L-E-A-D, as an acrostic to help us learn the qualities. And the first quality, the letter L stands for, anyone remember it? Learn. Yes, you can cheat off the screen if you need to. Learn. Leaders are learners. We're growing, we're learning, and as we do, we impart what we're learning to others. The letter E stands for? Boy, you guys are smart. Yes. Not cheating off the screen. No, you're not. Of course not. E is example. We need to model. We need to set the right example. When we have a positive example, it produces positive results. Negative examples produce negative results. Leaders are like pace cars. The speed of the leader determines the speed of the people. So how you and I act at home, in church, in our workplace, in our schools, other people pick up on that example and they will follow it. So our example is key. Now, these first two qualities, learn and example, really deal with kind of internal leadership, leading ourselves. They're things that impact us. The next 2 weeks, as we look at the next two qualities, the A and the D, they really deal with how we relate to people, their external qualities of leadership. So this morning, if you're taking notes, and you can find our sermon notes in the program that you were handed, the worship program, when you walked in, the greeters gave it to you, it's on the back page. Or if you have the YouVersion Bible app on your phone or tablet, you can download that, go to their events page and find Radius Church, and you'll have our sermon notes there. But the letter A stands for attached. Leaders are attached. For us to be effective in influencing others, we have to be attached to them. We can't be unattached. We can't be indifferent or aloof, withdrawn, or isolated. Now, some people say, hey, that's not my personality. I'm not an extrovert where I just put myself out there and say, hey, world, here I am. You know, somebody say, I'm an introvert. I like my me time. I'm very quiet and withdrawn into myself. Now, we're not trying to get you to change your personality. But I want you to realize that every single day, you and I have interactions with people. Sometimes those interactions are brief. They're just a few minutes, a few seconds. Like maybe talking to the grocery store clerk or the gas station clerk or the lady who works the checkout desk at the front of the gym. It's a brief interaction. Some of them are longer, more extended. Sometimes our interactions with people are one time, but sometimes they're repeated, and they take place many times over the course of weeks or days, you know, months. They're extended. Whatever those interactions are, though, those interactions, no matter how big or how small, can influence people towards Christ. And so as we go through our day, we need to be people that are attached to those around us. Because it is so easy for us to get consumed with our problems, to get consumed with our needs, that when we're going through a difficult time, we become introspective and life becomes all about us, that we're not thinking about Jesus' command to be witnesses in all the world, to go and make disciples of all people. And we don't want to become inward turned. Sometimes our schedules can be so busy and full that we race through the day that we really are oblivious to everyone around us because we're focusing in on all the things that we have to do. And when we are focused on ourselves, our schedules, our problems, our needs, we are unattached. We need to be a people that sees people and connects with people. And so we're going to talk about today being attached. And in John chapter 10, we see Jesus contrasting himself with different people. And he's using this parable of a shepherd, likening himself to a shepherd, and these other people to hired hands. I'm going to pick it up in John chapter 10, verse 2. Jesus says, "The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice, the shepherd's voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, so when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired man and cares nothing for the sheep." From this passage of Scripture, we pick up a few attributes of attachment. What does it mean to be attached? If you're taking notes, number one this morning is a leader who is attached is a leader who cares. People who are attached are people who care. The hired man, what did he do when he saw the big bad wolf? Ran away. He abandoned the sheep. He didn't care if one or more was eaten. He didn't care if the flock is scattered. He didn't care what happened to the sheep. But Jesus, on the other hand, he says, hey, I care. I care. That is the model Jesus sets for us. And so the question we need to ask ourselves as I'm going through life, what's my focus on people? Do I really care for people? Or do I care more about myself, my problems, my schedule, my whatever? God wants us to be a people that care. Because if we don't care, we're not going to effectively lead not yet Christians to Christ. If we don't care, we're not going to effectively lead other Christ followers into a deeper relationship with Jesus. If we don't care, we will not influence the people around us towards God and His ways for their life. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you and I should completely expend ourselves and burn out just helping other people and we don't take care of ourselves. No, we need healthy self-care. We need healthy self-care. I have seen pastors and Christians, they've neglected their private lives, they've neglected their spiritual life, and they think, well, because I study the Bible and I preach and I lead and I do all these things for God, that substitutes for my relationship with God. And they end up in moral failure, financial failure, or they burn themselves out. They're doing too much. We need a healthy self-care of ourselves. We need priorities in our life. Relationship with God, being attached to God, number one, and being attached to our spouse and our kids, and then being attached, having a network of armor bearers in our lives that we're accountable to and that they encourage us when we're down. We need attachments ourselves for us to be healthy. And then as we are healthy and not preoccupied with self, we can effectively care for and be attached to other people. I want you to just think about your life this morning. How much do you care about other people? Or as you go through your day, are you just thinking about yourself, your issues, your concerns, everything you've got to do? If God's speaking to you about how you perceive people, how you view people, do you see them as interruptions, as irritants, as frustrations, or do you see them as people that God wants you to care for and influence towards Him? What is God speaking to you about your attitude of care, that attribute of attachment? Okay, let's take a look at the next attribute of attachment, and that is connects. A person who is attached to people, connects with people. Pick it up in verse 4. We're going to look at John 10 again. It says, when the shepherd has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they'll never follow a stranger. In fact, they'd run away because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. In verse 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. The sheep knew the shepherd's voice. They knew the shepherd. Why? Because he took time to connect with them and build a relationship with them. Amen. Relationships are key to influencing people for Jesus Christ. Whether you have a classmate, a coworker, a neighbor, a workout partner, all of those people will be influenced more heavily through your relationship with them than through what you say to them about Christ or verbal witness. If you don't have relationship, they're probably going to discount a lot of what you say. Someone once said, people want to know you care before they care what you know. They need to have a relationship built with us. The reason I'm a Christian today is because when we moved into a new community, a neighbor lady half a block down the street struck up a friendship with my mom, invited her over for coffee. Their family invited our family over and, you know, to play games and just to hang out and stuff. And in the process of building relationship, she invited my mom to church. My mom started going to church, started hearing about the gospel. I was healed of severe allergies. And then my mom became a Christian, my dad, myself, and my sister, we all followed, but it all started with a relationship. One lady connected with my mom, and as a result, we became followers of Jesus. Don't underestimate the power of relationship. You know, there's a verse, it's Matthew 4:20, And it's the story of Jesus. And he just, and if you're reading Matthew chapter 4, it's kind of puzzling because Jesus says to Andrew and Peter, come follow me. And it says they dropped their nets. They left everything. You have to realize they were fishermen. This is their business. This is their livelihood. This is how they support their family. And Jesus says, come and follow me. And it says they leave it all and they go follow him. And when I read that, I'm kind of puzzled. I'm going, why would you just leave everything? And I realize Jesus hasn't done a lot of miracles or a lot of things at this time. He just says, come follow me. Well, when you look in John's gospel, we see some very interesting things. In John chapter 1, verse 35 to 51, John the Baptist is speaking to his disciples, whom Andrew is one of. And he is saying, Jesus is the Messiah. He, at least on a couple of occasions, he tells that to his disciples, including Andrew. And so Andrew has this relationship with John. And when John says Jesus is the Messiah, he's the one to follow. Eventually, when Andrew meets Jesus, this relationship influences him. And he goes to his brother Peter, and he tells Peter about him and his relationship with Jesus, or excuse me, with Peter, as they both come and Jesus says, come follow me. They follow Christ. It was because of relationship. Also, there's a gentleman whose name was Philip. Now, Andrew, Philip, and Peter all lived in the city of Bethsaida. No doubt they spent time together. They were talking about Jesus. And it's in that context, as Andrew and Peter have relationship with Philip, when Jesus says to Philip, come follow me, he does. And Philip goes to a guy named Nathanael and says, you need to come and meet this Jesus. And Jesus has an encounter with Nathanael, and he says, I saw you this morning, you were out praying all by yourself. It was a word of knowledge of what he was doing. Nathanael begins to follow Jesus. All four of these men, the reason they just left everything and followed was because there was a relationship that someone else had influenced them. And relationships are key if we're going to impact Casper and Natrona County for Jesus Christ. The people you work with, the people you go to school with, the people that you rub shoulders with, build relationships with them. That's what's going to make a difference. Someone once said that the three keys to evangelism, this is in your notes this morning, the three keys to evangelism are relationships. Some of you are writing it all down. You can use ditto marks if you want, but really, that's the key to evangelism. Relationships. It all hinges upon relationship. Studies show that when a person becomes a follower of Christ, within 9 months, they've lost all their non-Christian friends. They've just dropped those associations. I encourage you to make relationships with those people that don't know Christ. I love to ask this question in groups of people. How many of you, someone was involved in your salvation? Okay? They invited you to church. They shared the gospel. They shared their testimony. They prayed for you and you were healed, so you begin to explore the claims of Christianity. How many of you, someone else was involved? Maybe it was a parent, a grandparent, family member, friend, but they talked to you about God. Raise your hand if there was a person involved. I want you to look around the room. Hold it up high. Look around the room. It's almost everyone in here, okay? Now, on the flip side, how many of you, no person was involved? You were maybe watching on TV or watching online, an online audience. It's good to have you with us. Thanks for joining us today. But maybe you were watching TV or you're driving down the road and you flip the radio and there's a radio preacher. Or maybe you were in a hotel and you picked up a Gideon Bible and you came to Christ through that. Or you found a tract. Someone left a tract, maybe laying in a restroom stall, and you picked it up and you came to Christ through that. How many, no person was involved in you becoming a Christian? Raise your hand. I don't see a single hand. Maybe one. Friends, that's the power of relationships. If we're going to effectively lead people to Christ, we need to connect with them in relationship. Okay, let's move on to the next attribute, of attachment. Number three in your notes, a person who has attachment is a person who notices and values the one. It's a person who notices and values the individual. It notices the one. In Luke 15, Jesus tells another story about a shepherd. Verse 4, he says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?" Jesus talks about going after the one, noticing that the one is missing. And you think about it, and shepherds every night when they would bring their sheep into the sheepfold, they would count their sheep. Or maybe as they're just sitting on the hillside and their sheep are maybe in the valley grazing, they're counting their sheep, you know. And when the shepherd comes to 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, where's 100? 100's not here. Well, you know what? That's good enough. I'll take 99. Let him go. No, the shepherd notices the one. Jesus noticed the one. We see this over and over in his own life. In Luke chapter 8, verse 42, Jesus is on his way to a man's house. This man's name was Jairus. He was a synagogue leader. And his young daughter, his 12-year-old daughter, was dying. And so Jesus is on his way to heal this little girl. And look what happens in verse 42. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. So there's a ton of people around, okay? And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. Just a side note, how old was the little girl who was dying? 12 years old. How long had this lady been dealing with this medical issue? 12 years. As you continue to read this story, you realize that Jesus impacts both of these. And I just want to pause and kind of take a side note here and say, some of you here this morning, you've been going through a situation that's been a long, arduous ordeal. Maybe it's been 12 years like this lady. Maybe it hasn't been that long. Maybe it's been longer. Maybe you're watching online and you've been going through something for an incredibly long time and you're weary. It says this woman had been to every physician. The doctors could not heal her. She expended her livelihood. She was at her wit's end. There may be some of you, you've had a long, hard time. Or maybe you're like Jairus' daughter, where there has been this quick, intense situation, and it's taking you out, almost taking you out. Friends, I want you to know this morning, it doesn't matter which end of the spectrum you are. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about you. Jesus notices your situation, and he can take care of all things. We sang about today, impossible God, unstoppable God. God can do anything. Whether it's been long and arduous or whether it's been quick and intense, God can meet your need. God can deliver. God can heal. God can give victory. God can raise you up and help you. And there are some of you here this morning, you need to hear that. You need to know that God notices you. You maybe feel lost in a crowd. You're watching online and feel no one cares. You're maybe isolated at home for some reason. God does care. He cares, and if you ask him, he can move in your situation today. So this lady, she says to herself, if I just reach out and I touch him, I can be healed. She had faith. She heard about the miracles, and she does. And she's healed. And look in verse 44. She came behind, touched the edge of his cloak. Immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. In the midst of all these people, it says the crowds were almost crushing him. I mean, it's shoulder to shoulder. You are jam-packed. And in the midst of all that, he senses the power flow out of him. And he said, "Who touched me?" The disciples say, "What do you mean, who touched you? I mean, there's everyone around you." And Jesus says, "No, power flowed out of me." Why did Jesus do that? I believe it's because Jesus wanted to compliment this lady. He wanted to let her know that she was recognized, she was valued, she was important. And so in verse 47, the woman, seeing she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she touched him and how she'd been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Jesus noticed and he valued the one. He notices and he values you. It wasn't just this lady, but when you look in Luke chapter 19, it's the story of Zacchaeus. And Jesus noticed the one there. It says in verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he comes to Jericho. Zacchaeus, he was vertically challenged, okay? He was a short man, and the crowds again are pressing around Jesus, and he can't see them. He can't see them, so he runs on ahead. He climbs a tree, and he gets up in a tree so he can see Jesus when he walks by. And in verse 5, it says, when Jesus reached the spot where Zacchaeus was, he looked up to him and said immediately, "Zacchaeus, come down. I must stay at your house today." What's so interesting about this is that Zacchaeus was not a godly man. He was not one who was going after God with all of his heart. He was a tax collector for the Romans. And when he collected the tax, he collected more and he became rich. And so he was a crook. He was a thief. And people despised him. But despite that, Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I need to go to your house." There's people all around him, but Jesus notices this vertically challenged guy. And Zacchaeus goes to the house, and what's interesting is that when he is there, he repents and he says, "Anything that I've stolen from people, I'll pay it back 4 times the amount." Zacchaeus, because he's noticed and he's valued, changes his life around. Jesus noticed the individual. You know, sometimes we can walk into work or walk into school, and there might be someone who's down, and we just pass them by. We don't think anything of it. Jesus looked at every single person, and when the Holy Spirit spoke to him, he reached out to them. He noticed and he valued the one. Jesus had this habit, and there was times he woke up early in the morning to avoid the crowd so that he could have healthy self-care. He could pray to God. He often withdrew. There was times he stayed up late at night because he was ministering all day long into the evening. Jesus made time for God. But as he has all these needs and people saying, "Come heal me, come deliver me, come take care of this situation," Jesus walked slowly through the crowds, and he noticed and he valued the one. And he's our example to follow. God help us to notice people, to notice the hurting, to notice the seeking, regardless if what their reputation is, regardless if they're an unknown little old lady or a very prominent, notorious scoundrel in the community. God wants us to notice every person. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you about the people that you come across. If you're going out to eat today, how can you minister to your waiter, your waitress, your server? Tomorrow when you go to the gym, how can you minister to the attendant at the booth or the people you're working out with? Tomorrow when you go to work, when you go to school, ask God, "Show me someone that needs your love, that needs your encouragement, that needs your hope. Who can I connect with? Who can I value?" Jesus noticed and valued the one. He was an attached leader. Okay. By the way, here's an interesting quote from Norman Schwarzkopf. He was a very famous general about 20 years ago, 25, 30 years ago. And he says this. He says, "I've seen competent leaders who stood in front of a platoon and all they saw was a platoon. But great leaders stand in front of a platoon and see it as 44 individuals, each of whom has aspirations, each of whom wants to live, each of whom wants to do good. For us to be great influencers for Christ, we need to see individuals. All right, let's take a look at another attribute of an attached leader, an attached person. And leaders are people who lift people. Attached leaders lift people. Let's look again at Luke 15, the story of the 99 sheep, okay? Jesus says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness, go after the one which is lost until he finds it? Verse 5, when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. What does the shepherd do when he finds this one sheep that ran away? You stupid sheep! Don't you know you could have been killed or hurt? Why'd you run away? How many times have I told you not to do that? No. He picks the sheep up, lifts them up, puts them on his shoulders, and he's rejoicing. And when he gets home, he rejoices with everyone else. He lifts the sheep up. And friends, that's what we need to be. We need to be people that lift other people up. When we lift people up, it draws them to Christ. How do we lift people up? In your notes, we've got a bunch of different ways that are there. So you don't have to write them down, but one is respect. When you respect people, you lift them up. When you yell at them, when you berate them, when you degrade them, when you make fun of them, when you ridicule them, that's putting them down. That doesn't lift them up. Also, encouragement. When we encourage people, compliment them, telling they're doing a good job, that lifts them up. Someone once said encouragement is like oxygen to the soul. You can't live without it. When people are hurting, you can encourage them. John Maxwell, in his book called Becoming a Person of Influence, he tells about an experiment conducted by psychologists where they had barefooted people stand in a large bucket of ice water. Okay? Some people were stood in it all by themselves, no one else in the room, and they wanted to see how long they would stay in there. The second group of people was surrounded by other people who were encouraging them. Hey, you can do it. You can go a little bit longer. You're going to make it through. It's not that bad. Keep going. And the study showed that the people who had encouragers around them stayed in the ice water twice as long as those who had no one encouraging them. Maxwell makes this point, and he says, when a person feels encouraged, he can face the impossible and overcome incredible adversity. Encouragement lifts people through difficult times that brings us through them. Friends, encourage those around you. Encourage those around you. How do we lift people? We also lift them by helping them when they're hurting. Maybe not just encouraging, but maybe it's taking them a meal. Maybe it's shoveling their snow, mowing their lawn, doing household chores. Maybe it's giving them a gift card or giving them a gift of money if they're going through a financial problem. It's praying with them. Several ways we can encourage. We also lift people up when we believe in their potential. 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote this, chapter 5. He says, we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Now, he said warn, don't berate. Part of lifting people is showing them dangerous things in their life that are hurting them, but you address it in a proper way. Paul says, warn those who are being idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Has there ever been a time when someone's just frustrated you? They've gotten on your nerves, and it's just, ugh. It's hard to be patient, isn't it? our patience with people lifts them. And sometimes it's, Holy Spirit, you've got to help me. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Help me not to walk in my flesh and my frustration and my impatience. Help me to be patient with people who are slow, who are hurting, who just aren't getting it and making my life more difficult. God, give us patience. The last attribute of an attached leader is that they initiate. They make the first move. Jesus, again, is our model. In John 10, he said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus took the first step for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans says, none of us seek after God. None of us go after Him. All of us have fallen short. None of us are righteous. No, not one. But even though we weren't seeking God, Jesus initiated and He sought us out. And so sometimes it's like, well, I'm going to wait for the other person to talk first. I'm going to wait for the other person to make the move. That's not what Jesus does. Jesus initiates. We smile first. We say, hi, how you doing? We initiate conversation. We initiate relationship. And as we initiate, as we care, as we connect, as we lift people up, as we be attached to the people around us, we will influence them towards Christ. Jesus, He initiated for you and me. In just a moment, we're going to partake of communion. Communion, Jesus, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. We're remembering that He died for our sins. The little piece of wafer, the bread, that symbolizes His body that He offered on the cross. And the juice symbolizes His blood that was shed for the forgiveness of sin. You see, more than anything, God wants relationship with you and with me. With every single person, everyone in this room, in this building, everyone watching online, God wants a relationship with you. You matter to God. And there are some of you this morning, maybe you're discouraged. You're a follower of Jesus, but you've been going through a 12-year ordeal or a quick, intense time like Jairus, come save my daughter. Whatever it is, Jesus cares about you. And He showed us that by dying on the cross, by giving His body and His blood so we could have a relationship. So that if Jesus has taken care of your eternal welfare, you can trust Him with your earthly welfare. Maybe you're going through a difficult time today. I want you to just give to Jesus as we walk through this time of communion to pour out your heart to Him and say, God, I'm trusting You with the temporal because You've already given me the eternal. Some of you here today, you're not a follower of Jesus. You don't have a relationship with Him. God loves you. Even if you were the only person on the planet, Jesus would have died for you. God wants every one of us to have this relationship. In Luke 15:7, Jesus said there, and this is the story of the 99 and the one lost, and He says, you know, the shepherd lifts him up and rejoices. This is what He says. This was a story about when sinners come back to God. Jesus says, I say, likewise, there'll be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. The word repent means to turn around. It means a change of direction. We're going one direction, but we turn. Instead of going our way, the way we want to go, we're turning and say, God, I'm going to follow You. I'm going to be Your follower, and I'm repenting of my sin. I want to turn from the direction I've been going. I want to please You. I want to live for You. I want to have this relationship with You and lead others in that relationship. I'd like each one of us to bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. I want to give you, whether you're live or whether you're online, I want everyone to have this opportunity to experience a love relationship with Jesus Christ. So if you're here this morning and you know that you're away from God, if you died today, you're not sure if you'd go to heaven or hell. You need God to save you from sin, to save you from hell. And you're saying, I want to turn from my sin. I want to follow God. I want God to be my leader. If that's you this morning, with no one looking around, how many would just slip your hand up saying, Craig, that's me. I want this relationship. I need God's forgiveness. I need His leadership. Just put your hand up and you can put it back down. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else this morning? Anyone else today? Maybe those of you who are watching online and you just sense God tugging on your heart, just go ahead and lift your hand to God right now saying, God, here I am. I want to turn and I want to come back to you. Just go ahead and do that as you're watching there. Anyone else in the room today, you'd say, I want to come to God. I need His salvation in my life. Maybe some of you, you were following God at one time and you've fallen away. You're not right with Him. You need to make a recommitment. How many here this morning would say, I need to recommit my life to Christ? Just put your hand up today. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else this morning? I want to say this prayer. I would like all of us to pray together, no one praying alone. Lord God, I have done wrong. Please forgive me. I repent of my sin. I'm turning around to follow your direction. I need your forgiveness and your leadership. I give you control of my life. Give me your love. Give me a relationship. I want you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and rescuing me from my sin. Help me to live for you and lead others to you. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.